Chapter 28. Presto's hand. And what should it be but a 19th from MD? Oh, faith, I escaped narrowly, for I sent my 28th but on Saturday. And what should I have done if I had two letters to answer at once? I did not expect another from Wexford, that is certain. Well, I must be contented. But you are dear saucy girls, for all that, to write so soon again, faith. And you? 29. I dined today with Lord Abercorn, and took my leave of them. They set out tomorrow for Chester, and, I believe, will now fix in Ireland. They have made a pretty good journey of it. His eldest son, 4, is married to a lady with £10,000, and his second son, 5, has, t'other day, got a prize in the lottery of £4,000, beside two small ones of £200 each. Nay, the family was so fortunate, that my lord bestowing one ticket, which is £100, to one of his servants, who had been his page, the young fellow got a prize, which has made it another 100. I went in the evening to Lord Treasurer, who desires I will dine with him tomorrow, when he will show me the answer he designs to return to the letter of thanks from your bishops in Ireland. The Archbishop of Dublin desired me to get myself mentioned in the answer which my lord would send, but I sent him word I would not open my lips to my lord upon it. He says it would convince the bishops of what I have affirmed, that the first fruits were granted before the Duke of Ormond was declared governor, and I writ to him that I would not give a farthing to convince them. My Lord Treasurer began a health to my Lord Privy Seal, Prior Pund, and said it was so privy, he knew not who it was, but I fancy they have fixed it all, and we shall know tomorrow. But what care you who is Privy Seal, saucy sluttikins? 30. When I went out this morning, I was surprised with the news that the Bishop of Bristol is made Lord Privy Seal. You know his name is Robinson, 6, and that he was many years envoy in Sweden. All the friends of the present ministry are extremely glad, and the clergy above the rest. The Whigs will fret to death to see a civil employment given to a clergyman. It was a very handsome thing in my Lord Treasurer, and will bind the church to him forever. I dined with him today, but he had not written his letter, see above, 29th August, but told me he would not offer to send it without showing it to me. He thought that would not be just, since I was so deeply concerned in the affair. We had much company. Lord Rivers, Mar, 7, and Kinnell, 8, Mr. Secretary, George Granville, and Masham. The last has invited me to the christening of his son tomorrow se'nnight, and on Saturday I go to Windsor with Mr. Secretary. 31. Dilly and I walked today to Kensington to Lady Mountjoy, who invited us to dinner. He returned soon, to go to a play, it being the last, that will be acted for some time. He dresses himself like a beau, and no doubt makes a fine figure. I went to visit some people at Kensington. Offie Butler's wife, 9, there lies very ill of an ague, which is a very common disease here, and little known in Ireland. I am apt to think we shall soon have a peace, by the little words I hear thrown out by the ministry. I have just thought of a project to bite the town. I have told you that it is now known that Mr. Pryor has been lately in France. I will make a printer of my own, sit by me one day, and I will dictate to him a formal relation of Pryor's journey, 10, with several particulars, all pure invention, and I doubt not, but it will take. September 1. Morning. I go today to Windsor with Mr. Secretary, and Lord Treasurer has promised to bring me back. The weather has been fine for some time, and I believe we shall have a great deal of dust. At night. Windsor. The Secretary and I dined today at Parson's Green, at my Lord Peterborough's house, who has left it and his gardens to the Secretary during his absence. It is the finest garden I have ever seen about this town, and abundance of hot walls for grapes, where they are in great plenty, and ripening fast. I durst not eat any fruit but one fig, but I brought a basket full to my friend Lewis here at Windsor. Does Stella never eat any? What? No apricots at Donnybrook? Nothing but claret and amber. I envy people munching and munching peaches and grapes, and I'm not daring to eat a bit. My head is pretty well, only a sudden turn any time makes me giddy for a moment, and sometimes it feels very stuffed, but if it grows no worse, I can bear it very well. I take all opportunities of walking, and we have a delicious park here just joining to the castle, and an avenue in the great park very wide and 2 miles long, set with a double row of elms on each side. Were you ever at Windsor? I was once, a great while ago, but had quite forgotten it. 2. The Queen has the gout, and did not come to chapel, nor stir out from her chamber, but received the sacrament there, as she always does the first Sunday in the month. Yet we had a great court, and, among others, I saw your Ingoldsby, 11, who, seeing me talk very familiarly with the keeper, treasurer, etc., came up and saluted me, and began a very impertinent discourse about the siege of Bouchain. I told him I could not answer his questions, but I would bring him one that should. So I went and fetched Sutton, who brought over the express about a month ago, and delivered him to the general, and bid him answer his questions. And so I left them together. Sutton after some time comes back in a rage, finds me with Lord Rivers and Masham, and there complains of the trick I had played him, and swore he had been plagued to death with Ingoldsby's talk. But he told me Ingoldsby asked him what I meant by bringing him. So, I suppose, he smoked me a little. So we laughed, etc. My Lord Willoughby, 12, who is one of the chaplains, and prebendary of Windsor, read prayers last night to the family, and the Bishop of Bristol, who is Dean of Windsor, officiated last night at the cathedral. This they do to be popular, and it pleases mightily. I dined with Mr. Masham, because he lets me have a select company. For the courtier have got by the end a good thing I said to the secretary some weeks ago. He showed me his bill of fare, to tempt me to dine with him. Oh, said I value not your bill of fare, give me your bill of company. Lord Treasurer was mightily pleased, and told it everybody as a notable thing. I reckon upon returning tomorrow. They say the bishop will then have the privy seal delivered him at a great council. 3. Windsor still. The council was held so late today that I do not go back to town till tomorrow. The bishop was sworn privy councillor, and had the privy seal given him. And now the patents are passed for those who were this long time to be made lords or earls. Lord Raby, 13, who is Earl of Strafford, is on Thursday to marry a namesake of Stella's, the daughter of Sir H. Johnson in the city. He has 60,000 pounds with her, ready money, besides the rest at the father's death. I have got my friend Stratford, to be one of the directors of the South Sea Company, who were named today. My Lord Treasurer did it for me a month ago, and one of those whom I got to be printer of the Gazette I am recommending to be printer to the same company. He treated Mr. Lewis and me today at dinner. I supped last night and this with Lord Treasurer, Keeper, etc., and took occasion to mention the printer. I said it was the same printer whom my Lord Treasurer has appointed to print for the South Sea Company. He denied, and I insisted on it, and I got the laugh on my side. London, 4. I came as far as Brentford in Lord Rivers' chariot, who had business with Lord Treasurer. Then I went into Lord Treasurer's. We stopped at Kensington, where Lord Treasurer went to see Mrs. Masham, who is now what they call in the straw. We got to town by 3, and I lighted at Lord Treasurer's, who commanded me not to stir. But I was not well, and when he went up, I begged the young lord to excuse me, and so went into the city by water, where I could be easier, and dined with the printer, and dictated to him some part of Prior's journey to France. I walked from the city, for I take all occasions of exercise. Our journey was horridly moldy. 5. When I went out today, I found it had rained mightily in the night, and the streets were as dirty as winter. It is very refreshing after 10 days dry. I went into the city, and dined with Stratford, thanked him for his books, gave him joy of his being director, of which he had the first notice by a letter from me. I ate sturgeon, and it lies on my stomach. I almost finished Pryor's Journey at the printers, and came home pretty late, with Patrick at my heels. 7. Morning. But what shall we do about this letter of M.D.'s, N. 19? Not a word answered yet, and so much paper spent. I cannot do anything in it, sweethearts, till night. At night. Oh Lord, oh Lord. The greatest disgrace that ever was has happened to Presto. What do you think? But, when I was going out this forenoon, a letter came from M.D., N. 220 dated Dublin. Oh dear, oh dear. Oh sad, oh sad. Now I have two letters together to answer. Here they are, lying together. But I will only answer the first, for I came in late. I dined with my friend Lewis at his lodgings, and walked at 6 to Kensington to Mrs. Masham's son's christening. It was very private, nobody there but my Lord Treasurer, his son and son-in-law, that is to say, Lord Harley and Lord Dublin, and Lord Rivers and one. The Dean of Rochester, 14, christened the child, but soon went away. Lord Treasurer and Lord Rivers were godfathers, and Mrs. Hill, 15, Mrs. Masham's sister, godmother. The child roared like a bull, and I gave Mrs. Masham joy of it, and she charged me to take care of my nephew, because, Mr. Masham being a brother of our society, his son, you know, is consequently a nephew. Mrs. Masham sat up dressed in bed, but not, as they do in Ireland, with all smooth about her, as if she was cut off in the middle, for you might see the counterpane, what do you call it? Rise about her hips and body. There is another name of the counterpane, and you will laugh now, sirs. George Granville came in at supper, and we stayed till 11, and Lord Treasurer set me down at my lodging in Suffolk Street. Did I ever tell you that Lord Treasurer hears ill with the left ear, just as I do? He always turns the right, and his servants whisper him at that only. I dare not tell him that I am so too, for fear he should think I counterfeited, to make my court. 6. You must read this before the other, for I mistook, and forgot to write yesterday's journal, it was so insignificant. I dined with Dr. Cockburn, and sat the evening with Lord Treasurer till 10 o'clock. On Thursdays he has always a large select company, and expects me. So good night for last night, etc. 8. Morning. I go to Windsor with Lord Treasurer today, and will leave this behind me, to be sent to the post. And now let us hear what says the first letter, N. 119. You are still at Wexford, as you say, Madam Dingley. I think no letter from me ever yet miscarried. And so Inish Corthy, 16, and the River Slaney, fine words those in a lady's mouth. Your hand like Dingley's, you scambling, 17, scattering sluddikin. Yes, mighty like indeed, is not it? 18, piss, do not talk of writing or reading till your eyes are well, and long well. Only I would have Dingley read sometimes to you, that you may not lose the desire of it. God be thanked, that the ugly numbing is gone. Pray use exercise when you go to town. What game is that Ombre which Dr. Elwood, 19, a new play at? Is it the Spanish game Ombre? Your card purse? You a card-purse, you a fiddlestick. You have luck indeed, and luck in a bag. What a devil, is that 8-shilling tea kettle copper, or tin japanned? It is like your Irish politeness, raffling for tea kettles. What a splutter you keep, to convince me that Walls has no taste. My head continues pretty well. Why do you write, dear Sir Estella, when you find your eyes so weak, that you cannot see? What comfort is there in reading what you write, when one knows that? So Dingley cannot write, because of the clutter of new company come to Wexford. I suppose the noise of their 100 horses disturbs you, or do you lie in one gallery, as in an hospital? What? You are afraid of losing in Dublin the acquaintance you have got in Wexford, and chiefly the Bishop of Raffo, 20, an old, doting, perverse coxcomb? 20 a day time at breakfast. That is like £5 a day time, when it was never but once. I doubt, Madam Dingley, you are apt to lie in your travels, though not so bad as Stella, she tells Thumpers, as I shall prove in my next, if I find this receives encouragement. So Dr. Elwood says there are a world of pretty things in my works. A pox on his praises. An enemy here would say more. The Duke of Buckingham would say as much, though he and I are terribly fallen out, and the great men are perpetually inflaming me against him. They bring me all he says of me, and, I believe, make it worse out of roguery. No, 'tis not your pen is bewitched, Madam Stella, but your old scrawling, splayfoot pot hooks, S, 21, that's it. There he is, S, there, that's exact. Farewell, etc., our fine weather is gone, and I doubt we shall have a rainy journey today. Faith, 'tis shaving day, and I have much to do. When Stella says her pen was bewitched, it was only because there was a hair in it. You know, the fellow they call God help it had the same thoughts of his wife, and for the same reason. I think this is very well observed, and I unfolded the letter to tell you it. Cut off those two notes above, and see the £9 interest, and receive the other, and send me word how my accounts stand, that they may be adjusted by November 1. 22, pray be very particular, but the £20 I lend you is not to be included. So make no blunder. I won't wrong you, nor you shan't wrong me, that is the short. Oh Lord, how stout Presto is of late! But he loves M.D. more than his life 1,000 times, for all his stoutness. Tell him that, and that I'll swear it, as hope saved, 10 millions of times, etc., etc. I open my letter once more, to tell Stella, that if she does not use exercise after her waters, it will lose all the effects of them. I should not live, if I did not take all opportunities of walking. Pray, do this, to oblige poor Presto. Letter 30. Windsor, September 8, 1711. I made the coachman stop, and put in my 29th at the post office at 2 o'clock today, as I was going to Lord Treasurer, with whom I dined, and came here by 8:15, but the moon shone, and so we were not in much danger of overturning, which, however, he values not a straw, and only laughs when I chided him for it. There was nobody but he and I, and we supped together, with Mr. Masham, and Dr. Arbuthnot, the Queen's favorite physician, a Scotchman. I could not keep myself awake after supper, but did all I was able to disguise it, and thought I came off clear. But, at parting, he told me I had got my nap already. It is now 1 o'clock, but he loves sitting up late. 9. The Queen is still in the gout, but recovering. She saw company in her bedchamber after church, but the crowd was so great, I could not see her. I dined with my brother Sir William Wyndham, 1, and some others of our society, to avoid the great tables on Sunday at Windsor, which I hate. The usual company supped tonight at Lord Treasurer's, which was Lord Keeper, Mr. Secretary, George Granville, Masham, Arbuthnot, and 1. But showers have hindered me from walking today, and that I do not love. Noble fruit, and I dare not eat a bit. I ate 1 fig today, and sometimes a few mulberries, because it is said they are wholesome, and you know a good name does much. I shall return to town tomorrow, though I thought to have stayed a week, to be at leisure for something I am doing. But I have put it off till next. For I shall come here again on Saturday, when our society are to meet at supper at Mr. Secretary's. My life is very regular here. On Sunday morning I constantly visit Lord Keeper, and sup at Lord Treasurer's with the same set of company. I was not sleepy tonight. I resolved I would not, yet it is past midnight at this present writing. London, 10. Lord Treasurer and Masham and I left Windsor at 3 this afternoon. We dropped Masham at Kensington with his lady, and got home by 6. It was 7, before we sat down to dinner, and I stayed till past 11. Patrick came home with the secretary. I am more plagued with Patrick and my Permantula than with myself. I forgot to tell you that, when I went to Windsor on Saturday, I overtook Lady Gifford and Mrs. Fenton, too, in a chariot, going, I suppose, to Sheen. I was then in a chariot, too, of Lord Treasurer's brother, who had business with the Treasurer, and my lord came after, and overtook me at Turnham Green 4 miles from London, and then the brother went back, and I went in the coach with Lord Treasurer. So it happened that those people saw me, and not with Lord Treasurer. Mrs. F. was to see me about a week ago, and desired I would get her son into the Charter House. 11. This morning the printer sent me an account of Prior's journey. 3. It makes a 2-penny pamphlet. I suppose you will see it, for I dare engage it will run. 'Tis a formal, grave lie, from the beginning to the end. I read all but about the last page that I dictated, and the printer writ. Mr. Secretary sent to me to dine where he did. It was at Prior's. When I came in, Prior showed me the pamphlet, seemed to be angry, and said, here is our English liberty. I read some of it, and said I liked it mightily, and envied the rogue the thought, for, had it come into my head, I should have certainly done it myself. We stayed at Prior's till past 10. And then the secretary received a packet with the news of Bouchaine being taken, for which the guns will go off tomorrow. Prior owned his having been in France, for it was past denying. It seems he was discovered by a rascal at Dover, who had positive orders to let him pass. I believe we shall have a peace. 12. It is terrible rainy weather, and has cost me 3 shillings in coaches and chairs today, yet I was dirty into the bargain. I was 3 hours this morning with the secretary about some business of moment, and then went into the city to dine. The printer tells me he sold yesterday 1,000 of Prior's journey, and had printed 500 more. It will do rarely, I believe, and is a pure bite. And what is MD doing all this while? Got again to their cards, their walls, their deans, their stoits, and their claret? Pray present my service to Mr. Stoit and Catherine. Tell Goody Stoit she owes me a world of dinners, and I will shortly come over and demand them. Did I tell you of the Archbishop of Dublin's last letter? He had been saying, in several of his former, that he would shortly write to me something about myself, and it looked as if he intended something for me. At last out it comes, and consists of 2 parts. First, he advises me to strike in for some preferment now I have friends, and secondly, he advises me, since I have parts, and learning, and a happy pen, to think of some new subject in divinity not handled by others, which I should manage better than anybody. A rare spark this, with a pox, but I shall answer him as rarely. Methinks he should have invited me over, and given me some hopes or promises. But hang him. And so good night, etc. 13. It rained most furiously all this morning till about 12, and sometimes thundered. I trembled for my shillings, but it cleared up, and I made a shift to get a walk in the park, and then went with the secretary to dine with Lord Treasurer. Upon Thursdays there is always a select company. We had the Duke of Shrewsbury, Lord Rivers, the 2 secretaries, Mr. Granville, and Mr. Prior. Half of them went to council at 6, but Rivers, Granville, Prior, and I stayed till 8. Prior was often affecting to be. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.